Here we are on a Tuesday morning. Welcome, everyone, to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, wherever you're listening, across New South Wales, across Queensland. Plenty of stations on board for the first hour before you join Pat and Heels. If you're listening through the Racing Network, if you're listening on the SEN app, potentially you could be anywhere. You could be, you know, you could be in China. I wonder if anyone's listening in China. Probably unlikely, but you never know. If you are overseas, just can you send through a text? Let us know. We want to know our international audience this morning. We want to be able to say hello, world. 1-300-01-1170 is the Motorola open line. Hello, Moto. And the Edgewater Homes text line. That's the best way to get your message across. Short and sharp and quick. 0457-736-736. Gee, the Teamless Tuesdays roll around so quickly. And so it is again, Brandy, Team List Tuesday, but it's a little, we're a little somber today, a little sad, in fact, a lot sad, to be honest. One of the great men of rugby league, news coming through yesterday, passing away, Mr. John Sattler, and I feel as if I need to say Mr. John Sattler, because you were talking one of the true gentlemen of rugby league, and in my work in rugby league, I get to talk to a lot of players, as you do, Brandy. The respect for this guy, when you talk to players about who was the toughest of all time, to a man, John Sattler, he is top of the heap. And to Sat's family, and obviously to Scott, who's part of the SEN network, our thoughts are with you this morning.
Absolutely, Vossie. He was look. I played with Scott. He came down to Penrith and spent a few years, and I played a couple of years with him and got to meet John through Scott. So, and I think that does sum him up. You know, like we know about how tough he was on the field, how brave he was, but he was a gentleman. He always had a smile on his face. Didn't matter what the circumstance was, win or lose. John was always smiling, and he was a terrific man. And you get to know someone through someone else, and knowing John through Scott, you get to appreciate what sort of man he was just listening to Scott talk about his dad. So it was, very sad, very sad.
The tribute's obviously flowing, and we will have, and it will be a real privilege to have the great Ron Coote on the program today. But on The Fan last year, on Fox League, I interviewed Bob McCarthy, who was a childhood hero, of course. But he spoke about John Sattler, the toughness and the man. Here's a little bit of the great Bob McCarthy.
Oh, Sats would be the toughest. There was something wrong with him. I remember we were playing Parramatta up at the old Cumberland Oval, and I've walked in to get dressed at halftime, and Sats was there signing autographs. I noticed he had a cast on his arm. I said, "What have you done, mate?" He said, "Engine fell on me wrist and broke me wrist." I said, "Oh, how long are you in for?" He said, "I'm playing." I said, you can't play with that." He said, "No, I'll be right." I went to see Sats go over there, and he got the box, and he pulled it out, and he got these big pair of scissors out, and then he started cutting through the plaster. He's gone out there and played. Then when the game was over, I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'll go back to South, and also we're going to get it put back on again."
And that's exactly what he did.
And that's all
that's
true.
That's exactly what
that's
he
all
did.
True.
He went back to the hospital and got the plaster put back on. And because in those days, Vossie, there was no doctors on hand. It was, you just had a medical box. You know, in the medical box, there were smelling salts and a couple of bits and pieces of things and maybe a sponge. And he got the scissors and cut off his plaster and played. And he said he was whacking blokes all day and then went and got the plaster put back on at the hospital.
Yeah. See, the legend of 1970, the grand final, the broken jaw, it lives with us forever and will be forever spoken. I tell you what I get as, and obviously I knew about John Sattler, but the first time I met him, and I can't remember exactly where that was. I got a feeling it was something, might have been like the old Channel 9 footy show. He came in as a guest. But the thing that you always remember, John Sattler, relatively speaking, was a small man. Now, like, he's certainly not big. A giant of our game, but not physically big. I mean, hard, you could tell that. You know, hard as a, well, whatever you like. But he wasn't tall. He wasn't overly big.
No.
John Sattler, he must have, again, you get back to the toughness to mix it with. Like, you just didn't want to get him offside.
the big front rowers of the of that age of that era, someone like Bill Hamilton was a big man, but Sats wasn't. I guess that was the was the thing back in those days. And I the coaches that I had through my career, I remember Ronnie Willie, and I think I've spoken to you about this, Fossey. Ron Willie, who would have played in that era, said, you know, he looked at me one day, he said, well, gee, he said, back in our time, you would have played in the back row, you know, 80 kilos, you'd be a back rower. And I guess that transfers to what, you know, you got halfbacks today playing at 90 plus kilos, 95 kilos. They could be second rowers. They could be even front rowers back in the day, back in the 60s.
And going back through the life story of John Sattler, and there may be listeners listening right now that maybe your paths cross with John. We'd love to hear from you this morning, just your memories of meeting John. Or, in fact, if you maybe were a fan that went along to the game, never got to meet the guy, never got to meet Mr. Sattler, love to hear from you as well. And those humble beginnings up in Newcastle, he was moving. He was with. He was in Currie, wasn't he, with his family, as a young boy, and went to Maris Brothers High School in Maitland, and began playing rugby league at the age of 16. It wasn't until 16 that he started playing for Currie, and actually played for a representative Newcastle side against the touring Great Britain side way back in 1962, and that was the year before. That's where he basically got noticed by the Rabbitohs. A year later, he was playing for South Sydney. And then a few years later, he's the captain and now acknowledged as one of the most inspirational captains of all time. So some John Sattler memories, if you will, this morning on the Motorola open line, 1300 01 1170. And you can text 0457 736 736. Now, the Rugby League Players Association and the NRL, they're in talks, apparently. That's news. They're in talks. Those talks have been going now for 2 years. one of the points now is talking about, this is with the 11-day stand-down protocol. So that's a new one. They've had to put that on the table. They're talking about squads of 30 to 38. Now, I must say, Brandy, this is something you straight away latched onto when you were talking about the 11-day stand-down protocols. The demands on playing squads is going to happen. This is almost one that's a must. I mean, I'm not sure about the number, 30 to 38. I mean, that's a lot. So you're talking...
Yeah.
So you're talking in your salary cap. Are you talking another increase to the cap, or how's this going to work?
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work, Vossie, but it's obvious that it needs to happen, that they need to increase the size of the squads. When just look at Newcastle at the moment, who are already scrambling for players, with players out through different injuries, and that includes HIAs and stand downs. Not the 11-day stand down, but certainly they're on HIA protocols. Kalyn Ponga, they're already seeking dispensation from the NRL to pull players outside their top 30 to try and have a team run on the field. So it's, I think it's pretty obvious that, and looking at the head knocks that we've had this year already, and the players that are being ruled out the following week, I think, you know, bigger squads are necessary. What that does to the salary cap and how they make it work, well, I guess that's what they're talking about. But it is obvious that clubs need more players. Whether it's 8 new players per club, I'm not sure, but it certainly needs to be increased.
Now, further to that, let's get to the next point. The Herald is reporting that the NRL players are preparing for industrial action. So the word strike comes into
play. It's still on the table.
Mm. Yeah, apparently an email sent to the entire NRL and NRLW playing group last night. The RLPA says the players will have no choice but to trigger action, quote, should negotiations continue to stall. So that letter has gone out. Now, the listeners are also stakeholders in the game. Where are you standing right at the moment with the players? Have you had enough? Do you have support for the players? Are you following this close enough to basically pick a side? Stand with the game or stand with the players? And will you accept if the action get if it reached that strike stage, will you support the players? Will you come and say, yeah, no, they've got a case? Let us know. 0457 736 736. The Edgewater Homes text line might be rather busy this morning on that one. Do the players have your support?
I think to vote one way or the other, Vossi, you need to know what the players are asking for. Like, what is it now? What are the sticking points? What is holding up the CBA being agreed to? So it's a difficult one to comment on, unless you've got a list of demands that the players are making, and whether you think that they're being unreasonable or the NRL are being unreasonable, not ticking off on some of these things that they still want to put in the CBA. It's a hard one to deal with.
I don't know whether Blake Ferguson helped the cause the other week with the nose operation appeal on social media when he'd gone to Japanese rugby and got arrested with cocaine and then went over to England and played and then comes back and is asking the NRL for a handout to pay for his operation. I don't think that helped. I know we may be a little different on that one, but I'm telling you, in the eyes of the fans, he had no support. No support.
No. No,
I don't think
didn't.
That helps the general cause. If that's just one isolated case, I don't think that helps. If that's one, and that is
that's
one of the
with public opinion
is the fun.
Yeah, that doesn't help with public opinion. That's I agree with that.
All right, Team List Tuesday. Now, well, first of all, on Felice Kaufusi, he'll front the NRL judiciary tonight, seeking to downgrade his grade 2 dangerous tackle charge to a grade 1, which would mean he could escape with a fine and no suspension. That's ahead of the big one on Friday night, Dolphins and Broncos. Teamless Tuesday, Cameron Munster could be named to return. Melbourne playing the Tigers on Friday night. Dominic Young fighting to retain his place. I'm a little surprised by that. And this one, this has just gone mad, really. I can't believe. I'm just a rugby league commentator, but I know what I saw on Sunday. And I saw a five-minute miracle, and then I saw a tied side turn back to poop in the last 7 or 8 minutes. Brandon Wakeham is now being touted as he'll be in the side starting 6 or 7. Did you watch, did anyone watch the last, once they got to within 4 the Tigers, it is still 8 or 9 minutes to go. Brandon
Wakeham.
Yeah, they
had a bit of time.
They went horrible again with Brandon Wakeham on the field. They went horrible. And Brandon Wakeham was part of that. Seriously, he cannot be the answer 4 rounds into the season. And I'm being honest here. I'm not bagging the bloke, but I'm saying he's had 25 games of first grade. He's never been a regular first grader. If the Tigers pick Brandon Wakeham, if they get rid of their 7 and their 6, or either, then that is absolutely pressing the panic button. He cannot be the answer to their problems. Brandon
Wakeham. Look, he's certainly not the long-term answer, Vossie, but... And I guess it would be a sign of the panic button being pressed if they do pick him, because I don't think he's a long-term solution for the Tigers. But boy, how long do you give them? You've got to leave Luke Brooks there. They're going to leave Brooks in the halves, and they're going to play Wakeham, and Dewey will go to fullback. I don't know if that's their best combination, but the combination that they've had for 3 games has been pretty ordinary. And that combination has been pretty ordinary over the last few years. The Tigers hijacked last season. Like, we spoke about the Tigers more than any other team last year. They ran last, didn't we?
Yes, they did.
4 I don't wins. Want to talk about the Tigers
all year. Right.
I don't want to.
Brady's put a marker in the sand this morning.
Well, it's all very
So if we're
going
to text, I'm going to have to... You're just going to sit down and have a cup of tea.
Look, let us know your thoughts on the Tigers. Now, I was just thinking about this morning. I thought...
But leave Brandy
out. Yesterday, the Tigers dominated the text line, the Motorola open line. And it was all... None of it's good. There's no good stuff.
No.
I want some good stuff.
No, there's no good stuff.
I want to talk about
good stuff at all.
But Wakeham... I'm saying I'm 50-50 split on Brandon Wakeham this week. What have you got to lose? Let's just see what happens.
You can't train all off-season and 4 weeks into the season, Brandon Wakeham becomes your answer. Oh, no way.
But
that's not leadership.
You've got to look to what's led to it. Look how bad they were against Newcastle. Yeah. And they weren't much better for 60 minutes.
But, mate, that's like saying Rooster Ash puts in a good call and we promote him to the leadership group. Well, no, it's not, you're not getting onto the leadership group on the back of one good call on the Motorola open line. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Rooster Ash, just to bring you into the mix there. Are you hopping on the San Francisco Unicorns bus? the Cricket League. Well, I'm not. I'm not. I'm saying no. I'm bugger that. I'm not hopping on the stand for the Unicorns are not my team.
Unicorns.
I've got to come up with one.
Well, who's going to be your team in the States?
Well,
obviously it's 2020. 2020 competition in the States.
We need some help. Listeners, what's the list of teams?
Steve Smith's going to New York, isn't he?
Oh, well, possibly that might be my team then. But the San Francisco Unicorns do not grab me. The Unicorns, they can go to hell. Aaron Finch is going to captain the San Francisco Unicorns. Can someone come up with a team list of the other American teams? And even if you don't know, can you just make them up? So can you tell us some names, potential names for the American teams in the cricket there? They're going to love it. Just some other news this morning. Rafa Nadal has dropped out of the world's top 10 men's tennis rankings for the first time in how many years, Brandy? It's a bit like the birthday game. How many years since Rafa was outside the top 10? How many years?
Ooh.
How old are your boys?
Gee.
You know,
14 years? 14.
18 years. 18 years. 18. Answer. Yeah, 18 years. So he's fallen to 13th in the ATP rankings after injury forced him to miss Indian Wells. And Carlos Alcaraz is now back as world number one. So go to the phones. Who's your American team? John Sattler tributes this morning. Teamless Tuesday. Tigers, just leave Brandy out of the messages. 21 after 6 in New South Wales. 21 after 5 in Queensland. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. You're listening to the Home of Sport. SEN stands for the Sports Entertainment Network. Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.